It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. As promised, we are looking back at the 2019 recruiting class. You could call it the signing class. 11 guys showed up in January. Two more just showed up this week, in Caden Wallace and Jaquan Brisker. We're going to go down through the class, and I'm really interested, Jim, in your take here. We're going to call this underrated, but really, I'm curious the guys that excite you. You know, if you're going to be the voice of the fan here, I'm curious the guys that that excite you, maybe more so than the National Recruiting Services might let on. Like, who's got the fan base excited, whether it's you or whether it's message board posts? I'm curious. Curious your thoughts.
I'm going to go with me as opposed to representing the rest of the fan base. And the one name that comes out for me is Devin Ford. Now, I know he's very highly ranked. He is. But it seems because he didn't show up in January like Noah Cain did, he's been forgotten. And also, like we talked about earlier in the week, he was on our show with us. Comes across great. Another one of those kids that I've ended up rooting for even more, not to mention a wonderful tape, highly ranked, and everyone's talking about Noah Cain being the freshman who will join Ricky Slade and Journey Brown. What about Devin Ford?
Recency bias is it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And what I would say to you can be highly ranked nationally and still be underrated. You know, you can be the number five player in the country, and I'll be like, I don't care. There's nobody better. Like, they need to give him more due. So for him, I think that's absolutely a thing that arriving in May/June, whenever it ends up that he's going to get to campus, he's going to be a little bit behind when it comes to 2019 only. He's going to be maybe on the outside. He's going to have to work his way in, and I'm not sure if there's going to be enough time to do that. But to forget about him, or to, you know, get so excited about Noah Cain that you don't give him his due, this doesn't impact the big picture and what player that we believe that Devin Ford can be. And the player that we believe he can be is a lot more complete player than Noah Cain. I think Noah Cain is going to be very good between the tackles. I think he showed a lot, you know, in the blue-white game and all kinds of ways. But he's a bigger, more physical back, where Devin Ford is going to be more your traditional three-down back, how you envision them now. He's a very good receiver. He did a lot of that even in high school. He's very good in the open field. He's patient. He can run between the tackles. He's got that versatile frame. He's got outstanding vision. I think he's got all the skills that you want in a running back. It's just that we're having a very short-sighted conversation about Devin Ford, and thinking about, you know, and judging him based on how ready he will be to make an appearance on the depth chart in August. You know, that's not the right conversation to be having about Devin Ford. It's an interesting one because Noah Cain showing up in January, creating a little bit of buzz for himself. Even Jaywan Sider said he will play in 2019. Journey Brown's not going to the bench anytime soon. Ricky Slade's not going to the bench anytime soon. So the question is, where does Devin Ford fit in 2019? That's an interesting conversation, but it's a separate conversation from how good can Devin Ford be. And I fear the first conversation has overwhelmed the second one.
Exactly. And what I think plays to Devin Ford's advantage, I hope, is that they don't have to, last week again, Andrew Pichet, I forget what position we're talking about, and he said, I don't think this will be decided in August, until August. And I said, well, how about September? With that four-game allowance that the true freshmen have without burning their red shirt, might we see a little bit of competition among the running backs where Devin Ford can get out there and show that he belongs?
I would say I would agree with the four-game thing, except I'm not sure if September is it. I think maybe Devin Ford is the guy who shows up later in the schedule. Whether that's through injury, whether that's to keep guys fresh, whether that's, you know, you're beating Indiana handily in the second half, whatever. I think he's a guy that you're going to save his four games. And I think for the most part, the more important you believe one of your intended redshirts could be later, the later you're going to try to use them in the year. And I think they're going to start the year with the depth chart a certain way. Ricky Slade, Journey Brown, Noah Kane. That, I think, is how you start in August and September. But I think as the year progresses, and whether that's Devin Ford being an absolute standout in practice, whether that is an injury opening the door, you are going to want to try to keep as many of those four games as possible for a guy like Devin Ford. That's my take anyway. But I do agree that the four-game rule factors into how you use Devin Ford.
All right, enough on Devin Ford. Who else do we want to talk about?
Well, I said before, I'm a big fan of John Dunmore. I think he brings something to the table. And we're starting with, obviously, guys who are a little bit more highly ranked. But still, I guess it's just hard for me to believe that truly there's 20 better wide receivers or 19 better wide receivers in the country, according to the 24/7 sports rankings. He's not the, the do-it-all monster prototype player. He's 6'2", 172 pounds, which he's different. But he's wiry, and he is a guy who can make unbelievable catches, contested, great possession guy, great red zone guy. I don't know that he's going to be – I think he's got to get stronger. But I think at the end of the day, Penn State needs a guy who's going to be a reliable set of hands. He will be one of the more reliable sets of hands on the depth chart, I think, as soon as he walks on campus. But I think, he reminds me of DeAndre Hopkins.
Well,
not DeAndre Tompkins, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
A guy who's stronger than you think, who's probably faster than you think, but looks like he's playing the game in slow motion, makes all the catches, will be the one-handed catch guy. I'm excited about that.
Well, and also that position group at wide receiver, you're playing three at a time.
Yeah.
So the two deep has six guys. So there's a lot of ways to get into that group, into that two deep. And you only have to go back as far as last year. I don't believe many folks were talking about Jahan Dotson going into the season. Right. And he found his way onto the field. And that's you can, as a freshman, and again, the further away from the ball, as James Franklin says, you're going to be given at least an opportunity. And with all the drops that they had last season, you go out there and show that you're going to catch the ball. You got a chance to play.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's going to be John Dunmore to a T. Anybody else got you said it? I'm happy to share.
Well, what I thought was interesting, and we're going to hit him in the player profile, is Adisa Isaac is very highly rated and not a name we hear a lot about.
I don't know why that is exactly, but physically, like he's got to gain some weight, and maybe that's part of it. But he's got to gain some weight. He's already started. I think he's listed in at 220 by 24/7. I think he's already up over 230 at Penn State. But he still looks on the skinny side. He as a guy, 22 sacks last year. I know that I think level of competition probably plays into that. If he's the same guy, but he's playing at a Florida powerhouse, he's probably viewed differently than he is. But in terms of just pure raw ability, he needs to be mentioned. I'm very, very intrigued by Joseph Darkwa, the kid from Germany. There's going to be transitions, multiple transitions to be had from coming from Germany, living in the States, also level of competition and going against grown men day in and day out, the depth of offensive linemen, the power, the athleticism, the offensive linemen he'll be going against. But to me, he's 6'5", 270 pounds, and he's a defensive tackle. There's some transition there, but he is a unbelievable ball clay for Sean Spencer to mold. And if you're gonna tell me, like, yeah, he's 6'5", 270, he's fast, he's strong, whatever, but he needs technique. Sean Spencer is the guy that I would want to be trying to transform him. So if all he needs is that technique to match, you know, the power and speed and all that stuff, I like his chances.
It's easier to coach technique than it is big, strong, and fast.
Yeah, and I think he's got big, strong, and fast.
And the fact that they went to Germany to bring this guy, you don't go to the non-traditional recruiting area, Germany, and just, well, we'll pick the best of the group. Someone has to really catch your eye to make you think, hey, I'm going to bring the guy over. And the fact that they went back to Germany this spring looking again tells me they thought, well, hey, we found the gem last year. Let's go try this again. Tells me something. It tells me that they were very happy about bringing him over. He's on my list too of the guys I'm curious to see. I'm going to give you another one, and Darkwa is at the bottom of the numbers for the recruiting rankings. Another one at the bottom is Daquan Hardy.
Yeah,
and he's a playmaker, makes things happen. And we discussed this a bit on last week's show with Bob and Andy, is I'm intrigued by the guys who have those skill levels, but they might be missing one thing. For him, it's size.
Yeah.
And is it really all that critical anymore for a receiver like KJ Hamler or a cornerback like Hardy or a special teams guy? He's going to return punts, kickoffs perhaps, and for that alone, that's a worthy scholarship if he gets on the field and makes a difference on special teams.
I would agree with all that. And it's always interesting to me, you know, how guys are rated on a national level and why. If you, I think a lot of times you are using, like, can he be an NFL player? You're using NFL guidelines to tell you if a recruit is a 4-star, 3-star, or 5-star. And that's just not very accurate. But in this case, a cornerback at 5'10", 160, yeah, he'll need to get to 175 pounds to be a functional player. But NFL teams are finding a lot of value, and they're paying accordingly for guys who are only going to defend the slot. That's your job. I don't know that has crept into national recruiting rankings just yet. But you can have a guy who's not 6 feet tall. You can have a guy who's small, plucky, feisty. He's quick enough. He's competitive enough to run with slot receivers. And that seems to me what Daquan Hardy is. His recruitment reminds me of Journey Brown a little bit, where, you know, nobody's really given this Penn State or this Pennsylvania kid a try. Late in the cycle, we're going to go and we're going to take this gamble. We're going to gamble on you. And I think it's starting to pay off for Journey Brown. I think it's going to eventually pay off for Daquan Hardy also. He's very underrated. He is the lowest rated player in the class, but he's just competitive and feisty enough to make good on his potential. We're going to look at all the guys with all the most potential. Take a quick break. Look at the blue chips in the 19 class. Stay tuned.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.